Switching gears next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, Larry Mueller here. We're going to be talking with you a little about rustic furniture with Daniel Mack. He's been a guest in the past. He's from Warwick, New York. He's worked with natural materials for a long, long time as an artist. He's a writer, furniture maker, architectural consultant, and we're really pleased to have him come back and be with us. He founded the Woodlanders Gathering at Shake Rag Alley in Mineral Point. This year's event is coming up in July, and we'll certainly talk some more about that with him. But we'll also talk about his work with rustic furniture, and you may have some questions. And if you do, I hope you'll join us. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or email us at talk@WPR.org. And we'll be back right after this look at the news. I'm going to spend the last portion of our program talking with you today about rustic furniture and about the Woodlanders Gatherings that's coming up in July in Mineral Point, Wisconsin, the gathering, the Woodlanders Gathering, it's called, at Shake Rag Alley in Mineral Point, with our guest, Daniel Mack of Warwick, New York, who has worked with natural materials for the past 30 years. He works in three areas. He works on research on the powers of natural materials, making what he calls imaginal artifacts. He does sculpture and objects which resemble common furniture and tools, but they actually perform ambiguous, maybe, changing functions. And he also works on major architectural projects using natural materials like beams and stairways and railings and wall treatments. And he teaches about working with natural materials at the Omega Institute at his own studio and at the Woodlander Gatherings. And we're really pleased to have him back to talk with us about his work and also to talk about the gathering. So we're really pleased to have him back. And certainly if you have questions or comments as we move along, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@WPR.org, and we'd love to hear from you. And Daniel Mack is with us by phone today. Daniel, hi.
Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
Great. How are you doing? Welcome back.
Great. I'm a little confused. I thought we were going to talk about helpful tips for keeping your hybrid in good shape in the summer months.
Well, you know, I just got a new hybrid.
Did you?
Yeah, a new 2010 Toyota Prius.
Wow.
And liking it very much. We went to the Midwest Renewable Energy Association last week, drove up there, I don't know, 55 or 56 miles to the gallon, something like that, on the way up and back. So it was great.
Oh, that's great. We have an old Honda hybrid, which we're still getting 44 miles to get, I think, a 2002.
Well,
it works real well.
It's really, really nice. Well, it's nice to have you back to talk. You know, the Woodlanders gathering at Shake Rag Alley in Mineral Point, this is open to pretty much anybody, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a community building event. It's for people who've finally said, I want to always try something I haven't done before. I want to make a bench. I want to experience something new. And it's a very welcoming. Have you been up to Shake Rag? Have you seen the buildings there?
Yes, it's fantastic place.
Yeah. It's, you know, the old mining village, and the structures there are beautiful. And again, it's that kind of that warmth of community building that you get when you're learning things with other people.
Yeah, and what I like about it almost the most is that you don't have to be an accomplished artist or builder to go and have a great time and produce something that's very nice.
Right. Actually, I just put a new quote on our website, on the woodlanders.com website. Listen to this. It's from Henry Van Dyke, and I don't, you know, you find these quotes floating all over the internet, but listen to this one. Use the talents you possess, for the woods would be silent if no birds sang except those that sang the best.
Oh, that's
isn't that nice?
Yeah.
And that's really the spirit behind all this, is that we're all makers, and some of us do it more regularly or more constantly than others, more professionally, but everybody has to make in the morning. You have to make yourself get up. You have to make your breakfast, make your way to work. and that's essentially the definition of creativity that we're working with. Just to be human, you have to create a life for yourself, and we're just sort of developing that at these Woodlander gatherings.
Well, how did you come to create the life that for yourself that you've created?
We're on the air till when, Larry? I was in corporate work. I was in corporate media, and it was too precious. I wanted to do something with real materials, you know, where you could see what you did and touch it and make it better or make it again. So I, about 30 years ago, I kind of switched from the corporate to the craft world, and it worked. And so I built furniture for a long time, and now I'm mostly doing architectural consulting. So when there's large lodges being built or log cabin kinds of structures, I'll get involved on what kind of species of wood or how to get the wood or how to mill the wood.
You've made something you call imaginal artifacts.
Imaginal tools.
Yeah, imaginal tools. Talk about those a bit.
Well, you know, working with natural materials so long, you know, that a lot of it was useful work, benches, beds, chairs, tables, but they'd also find pieces of wood, and you do this when you go to the seashore, the river bank. You find something that somehow you want to hold, you want to take home. You don't know what it's good for, but you know that somehow you're attracted to it. So I ended up with a huge collection of these kinds of pieces of wood that wouldn't really turn themselves into chairs or beds, and I realized that they had a kind of a power to them. So in addition to the kind of architectural work that I'm doing, I'm also doing with this kind of more playful work with make tools, and that's what we'll be doing out at the gathering, at least people that work with me, that look like knives. They look like spoons. They'll look like stirrers or wands, but there's something almost magical about them. And it sort of balances off the regular construction quality of some of the work.
That's and what materials do they need to bring with them to in order to make these things?
Well, we'll have plenty of materials there. I mean, Mineral Point is rich in kind of fallen branches, and I'm bringing lots of various things. But I'm guessing that most of the people who are coming or who are interested in coming will have some stash of sticks that they don't know what to do with. So that thing I just described to you, you know, the collection of little driftwood pieces. That's where I can bring it.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. So they can bring their own and fashion something while they're there.
That's... Yeah, shells, rocks. It's all those things that somehow you haven't been able to throw away, but you haven't figured out what to do with.
I like that approach. You made a series of tool chairs a decade or I guess more than a decade ago maybe.
Yeah. Now.
They resembled common chairs but had different purposes.
Right. So I made a huge number of chairs just from tree branches, and then one day there was just a saw sitting there. It was an old saw. I collect old tools all the time. I said, wonder if this went in the back of it. Wonder if that went in the back of it. And it's almost like revealing the history of the chair by putting the tools that would make chairs into the chairs themselves. And that started a very interesting part of my work, and that most of the pieces that have ended up in museums are from that tool series, where you're kind of revealing the history of the object itself by including the tools that made it.
I love that approach. Our guest today, Daniel Mack, as we talk with him about his work, he's worked with natural materials for the past 30 years as an artist and a writer and a furniture maker and an architectural consultant. So he brings a lot to the table here as we visit with him about his work and also a little bit about the Woodlanders Gathering at Shake Rag Alley in Mineral Point. And it's July 10th through the 13th this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. It starts on a Friday afternoon and ends on a Monday afternoon. And it's just a series of lovely workshops with very skilled other rustic people. I'm doing probably five or six, and then there are another probably 15 or 20 skilled rustic workers who will be there to do other kinds of work. And the workshops go, some of them are a day long, some of them are only a couple hours, some of mine are only a half hour or an hour. You know, it's just to sort of let you get a sense of something because in my view, rustic isn't just a style. It isn't just sort of a country style, but it's more a way of understanding nature and human nature. So you learn something about yourself when you work with sticks and stones.
Ah, it's great. If you'd like to join in, give us a call with your questions or comments. Maybe you've participated in past years, or maybe just have a question about this year's or about Daniel's work. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us, and the email address is talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. You mentioned earlier that you do some major architectural projects as well.
Yeah. Mostly they're in the East at this point. I mean, just for the travel involved. I'm here in New York City. And I work at the Bear Mountain Inn, which is an old, it's one of the large park-style inns close to New York City. It's being renovated, and I'm working on that. And working on one of the gambling casinos, Mohican Sun.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever they have these kinds of larger-than-life rustic events, I often get involved in those.
That's great. So how did you get from where you were to that part of your life?
From the furniture making to the architecture?
Yeah.
Somebody saw some of my chairs and said, oh, that would be beautiful for a handrail in the lodge we're building. And that was true. The scale of a chair back is about the scale of a handrail. And then there was the inevitable, oh, since you're here, can you get us 50 columns, 16 feet long and 22 inches in diameter? And I was young and impressionable, Larry, and I said yes. So,
and you've been doing it
On and off ever since. But I have gray hair now, so it's very demanding work. I mean, it's construction work is what it is. It's not sweet little artwork at all.
Yeah.
And actually, at the gathering, we're doing some building. We're throughout the weekend, we're building a children's rustic playhouse, so people can come and watch whatever days, you know, they can come for one of the days or all of the weekend. It's really a very easy in and out if you don't have the whole time. But we're building a structure, a playhouse, so that you can see how larger structures get done.
So cool. So you'll be using logs?
Yeah, I think they're using cedar logs to build the playhouse. Although it's more how you solve the construction problems than what materials you use, because everyone will have different materials. I've built tree houses. And it's really more again developing these thinking skills about rustic materials. And you can use, you know, fallen logs, you can use locust, you can use store-bought materials. It's more of a way of thinking than it is actually construction.
And I'm always surprised at the breadth of your work. You've been working with clothing as
well.
That's
a new thing. I went to a little lecture a couple of months ago on African textiles, and one of the things they showed was this warrior shirt and how men decorate a particular piece of clothing with all the trophies they from their life. And, you know, men are kind of overlooked in a lot of the crafts. So I'm very interested in what happens. Can men develop some sort of fabric craft? And I think of the Shriners or, you know, in some of those Memorial Day parades, you see the guys walking along with all their vests on. Are those the Shriners?
It could be the Shriners, yeah.
Yeah, but it's that whole idea of how do men display who they are and what they are. And, Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts do that all the time. So it's early work right now, but it's just sort of, it's playful work. It's, sew teeth and bones onto a vest and walk around and go in and order a grilled cheese sandwich or something.
Well, let's take some calls here. Mark and Kakana will give you a chance. Hi, Mark. Thank you for calling.
Hi.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. I have a question. I've made some rustic furniture out of blue beech or mussel wood.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever used that?
Yes.
I'm just wondering if you know a way to get the bark off faster.
Oh, that's really interesting. No. Either it'll fall off by itself if you've cut it at the right or wrong time of year. The bark stays on in the winter, obviously. So if it's a winter cut, you're never going to get it off.
Okay.
If you try to peel it when the sap's up, which in the east would be right about now, and probably there too. Yeah. You know, as it's in full leaf, that's when it's the most luscious, and you can get the bark off.
Okay. Because I've had some pieces that I've just had sitting there, you know, and occasionally I'll get out there with a chisel, and it kind of
takes forever.
Right,
plain.
It comes off, but boy, it can be a stinker sometimes.
It's one of the toughest barks to get off. Most people, when I've built chairs out of it, I've worked with the bark on, and I just sanded it and oiled it.
Okay,
but try it when it's been raining here a lot. If after rain that you get the most moisture in the wood, and if it's going to peel, that's when it's going to peel.
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay, Mark.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And you can join us, too, at 800-642-1234. Give us a call with your question or comment. What's good about that particular wood?
One, it's extremely hard, durable, and it's very difficult on your tools. And the other, he gave you the nickname for it, muscle wood, that it has this amazingly sinewy look to it. So it looks like someone's arm is twisting in carbonation. And so that's one of the real high points of rustic, is that you want it to look like it's alive. That if you dare sit in this chair, Larry, you might not get up. You know, because a lot of times people just think rustic is just kind of a cheap way to build something. But really it's working with the kind of the energy that's in the wood. And some of the woods are more exciting to look at, and Blue Beech is definitely one of them.
Yeah, and I would think in some ways it can be more difficult to work with in a way, because you're not dealing with perfectly straight and so forth.
Oh, that's right. No, it's almost a 3D way of building, but primarily you have to be very forgiving to yourself. Because it's very difficult, you're right, to get things just right. So it's really an exercise in forgiveness and perfection. And you always, if you say to yourself, you tattoo on your arm, my next chair will be my best. It'll get you through all the other stuff.
Deborah in Milwaukee's up next. Hi, Deborah.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Daniel. I love wood. I carried it. I found a piece of a branch from a tree 2 days ago, and I was on my bike, and I carried it with me like the whole day, and I almost, it was for about an hour, but I almost threw it out, but I still have it. I'm holding it now, but I love wood, and I'm wondering, are you knowledgeable about trees? Do you see a tree and think, and think of the wood underneath it? And I think this is fascinating. I absolutely love this. I have all sorts of collection of pieces of wood at my house, and I'm not sure what to do with them.
Oh, boy, you should go to the Woodlanders Gathering.
This is a classic case of Woodlanderitis, I can tell. you're sick. You're sick, Deborah,
I can
fix you.
Oh.
No, I do. You go and you see, I'll go for walks in parks, in cemeteries. Cemeteries are wonderful because they were planned, many of them were planned as very special landscaped places, so you find some really special trees in cemeteries.
Yes, and there's a wonderful one in Milwaukee. It's really old. It's not a great neighborhood, but you should see it if you're ever in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure the name of it. It's like around south of Capitol. I think you can look on a map. It's like Atkinson, I think. It's on Atkinson Street. But so anyway, I won't interrupt anymore, but I do love cemeteries also.
Great.
Thanks very much for calling. And Tony in Hartford, on to you. Hi, Tony.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So the gentleman was talking about taking off bark off of a particular kind of wood.
Yeah.
And I'm a carpenter and a craftsman myself. And one of the best ways that I've found to take bark off of any kind of wood is a low-angle planer. You know,
I know that well.
Planer, made big walking sticks using that particular method.
Yep. Yeah. For certain species of wood, that is probably the very best way, and it keeps you young and healthy. But for this particular wood that Mark was talking about, it's so sinewy that you would lose all the
character, I suppose.
Yeah, the character of the wood by the time you use the plane on it. But for simpler woods, for maples, for some of the other woods, a low-angle plane would be just great for it.
Perfect.
What kind of wood was he talking about?
He had Blue Beech. It's, muscle wood.
I don't think I've ever worked with it. But,
just
the way that I deal with it when I do my little crafts.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, Tony, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Mary and Oliva, it's your turn. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hi.
Have you ever used forsythia wood?
I live in like a jungle of forsythia, and I love it. It's absolutely useless as a rustic building wood.
It doesn't rot very much.
Well, it has that hollow pith in it. It has that hollow center. What size, Mary, are you looking at?
Oh, our forsythia hedge is almost 20 feet high.
Okay. You know, I've always been shy. I've always trimmed it. I do what's called pleaching, which is I'll shape it into various things, but I've never actually tried building with it. But I have a yard full of it here. You know, because I use mortise and tenon joint, you know, peg and hole joinery. And when you cut the peg on the end of the forsythia, you have that great big hollow center there, which to me would seem to be a little bit weak.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Thanks, Mary, for calling. And Brent in Jackson, hello to you.
Hello. I just made my first project this past year. It was a walking stick. Just a limb I picked up, and that's about a 4-inch piece of willow that I found, and I made a walking stick out of it for my father. That was my first project, and he was very impressed with it because he's been a woodworker all his life, redoing antiques and everything. And I was also wondering about this weekend that's coming up, the 10th through the 13th. Is that held in Mineral Point every year?
Yeah, we do it in Mineral Point, I think, for the last 7 years.
Yeah, I believe so.
And I think I have the list right here. There's two or three different carving. Actually, a number of carvers show up at the event. I think they're carving a stool. So carvers do show up, and there's some power carving. I've used some of the Arbortech carving tools, which are power ones, and then there's one, what's his name, John Sharp, who does a wonderful stool carving. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, this might be good. Had you done carving before, Brent?
No, I had not.
Isn't that an exciting thing to do, to pick up something new?
It was just amazing to watch it come to completion.
And come to life. Oh, absolutely. Well, you might have a great time at that Woodlanders Gathering at Shake Rag Alley in Mineral Point. And, you know, to find out more about that, Daniel, go to your website?
Yeah, you can go to woodlanders.com.
Woodlanders.com, okay.
Or to see a lot of that, a lot of the work that I do, it's my name, danielmack.com. And they all sort of link up together at some point.
Well, I tell you what, it's been a pleasure to talk with you today. Thank you so much.
Okay.
And look forward to our next visit.
Same here, Larry.
Daniel Mack of Warwick, New York. As we've learned, he's worked on natural materials for 30 years. He's been an artist, a writer, furniture maker, architectural consultant, and his website's cool. He's got a great great shot of a bed on the first page of that website, that the rustic furniture that he made, and it's absolutely gorgeous. And lots of examples of his other work in there. And, of course, you can find out about the Woodlanders Gathering in Mineral Point. And, again, it's July 10th through July 13th, and you can kind of come and go. You don't have to sign up for the whole thing. But you'll get all the details on that Woodlanders Gathering website. Thanks again to Daniel Mack. Thank you for listening. Phil Pelletieri joins us tomorrow to take us on a journey through the insect kingdom. Stay with us here on the Ideas Net.